It gives me great pleasure to be with you and share from the Word of God. My prayer before I came here is I will not add another sermon to hundreds and probably thousands of sermons that you heard before. But as we study the Word of God, it will challenge us and change us. So we will have an encounter with the Word of God to help us to grow in our Christian walk. This is really the focus of our talk today. Our topic today is called Going Forward, and will depend on a couple of verses from the Philippi. And this is a letter written by Paul in his last part of life when he was in prison in Rome. And we will listen to his experience of how he conducted his life and what he wants to do with life again. He said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead." And Paul, with his great experience of the Lord, decided to forget what's in the past. All the victories, all the failures, he would forget everything. And the word straining here is intense effort, mentally and physically. So Paul is saying, we'll do one thing, but this one thing has two parts. One is forgetting, and the other is remembering or straining towards what is ahead. Paul said, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." So when God called us to be part of his family, this is the start of the journey. It is not the end of the journey. Because some of us think, I am saved, I am forgiven, I belong to God, and that's in itself great. And we can't achieve that by ourselves. It is the Lord who did that on the cross. But this is not the end of the journey. This is the start of a journey for a call that God had put on every life of us. And this is heavenwardly words in Christ Jesus. I like this statement because it says that the unsaved person is controlled by the past. And it's very difficult to be controlled by the past. There are things that we have done in the past we wish we haven't done. But that doesn't control us, because in Christ Jesus, we are moving forward. Christian running the race looks towards the future. And that is really the goal of our chat today. To forget in the Bible means no longer to be influenced by or affected by. Forgetting is not an amnesia. So we don't just forget because it never happened, but it did happen. So it is there in our memory. But forgetting means we are not going to be accountable to these wrong things that we have done because Jesus paid the price for us. It simply means breaking power of the past. And I think that's very important, to break the power of the past. Imagine if the Apostle Paul start to remember how he persecuted the church and kept thinking of that all the time. He won't be able to preach anymore. Imagine if Moses remembered that he killed an Egyptian. But he has to move on and forgetting what is in the past to progress for the future. This statement is very important because in the Olympiads, you have to be a Greek citizen to participate. That's original of the Olympiads. So it did not run the race to gain citizenship. You have to be a Greek person to start the race. So the talk today, we are starting a race, but we have to be born in God's family in order to start the journey. We can't start the journey without being born again in Christ Jesus. Too many Christians are shackled by regrets of the past. And that is an area where Satan can attack us intensely, reminding us of our past. But I read a lovely statement, said, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And that is really a good way to be liberated from whatever wrongs that we have done, or even whatever good things we have done, because we can't depend on achievements of the past. We need to progress forward. Some people try to run the race looking backwards. Can you imagine that? If you are looking backward, you will never progress. You will never achieve anything. So we are looking forward, depending on the grace of God operating in our life. We'll have an example from the Old Testament now of a person who was going forward despite all the difficulties around him. He was going forward at the age of 85. Can you imagine? I'm sure we start to guess what is the name of this person. It is called Caleb, and we'll study his life quickly. But before we do that, Caleb was born in Egypt under the slavery, under when the Israelites were in Egypt. Let me just take you through this map. This is the Mediterranean Sea. This is Egypt. This is the land of Goshen, where the Israelites settled. And they crossed what we think the Bitter Lakes. And their journey was to be liberated from slavery in Egypt and head to the land of Canaan. And that is the straight line if they took that line, but they didn't. They went down and they moved around and they did not believe God. And in Kadesh Barnea, this place here, Moses sent 12 spies to spy the land. And one of them was Caleb and Joshua. And the 12 spies came back with a bad report saying, the land is fertile, it is brilliant, but the problem is the Amalekites are living there. They are strong, they have fortified cities. We cannot win, we should go back to the land of slavery to Egypt. But Caleb and Joshua said, we can go and conquer them because the Lord is with us. So this is the background of the life of Caleb. And this is, as I said, the Mediterranean Sea, this is the Red Sea, and this is Sinai. And no map is complete without knowing where is East Kilbride. It will be here. So now we know where we are. But the important thing, really, why I'm giving you all this history, because it's important to know the background, how Caleb decided to go forward in his life. In Joshua, we read, Caleb said to him, that's to Joshua, after they crossed the river Jordan and they are going to inherit the land. And Caleb was reminding Joshua, the leader, about the promise of God. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. And before we leave this, I like the title given to Moses, the man of God. If somebody mentioned you or me, would you say the man, a woman of God? Is that the main characteristic of your life? I think that's really a challenging thought. I was 40. Caleb is saying he was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, that's another title given to Moses, a man of God, a servant of the Lord. When you introduce yourself to somebody, you try to give the maximum impression. I'm the chief executive of such and such. And if you give the impression that if you have a week holiday, the whole company will collapse. But actually, what Moses here is the servant of the Lord. When you introduce yourself to somebody, you'll say, I am the servant of the Lord. I think that's amazing. But that's how we should be, actually. So back again to Caleb. He was 40 years when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land and brought him back a report according to my convictions. So Caleb had convictions, has trust in the Lord. He knew the Lord and he knew that the Lord is able to take him to this promised land. But my brothers, that's the other 10 leaders, my brothers who went up with me, made the hearts of the people sink. They came with a report saying, it's impossible, we can't do that. And as a result, they give discouragement to the nation. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And I like to highlight the word wholeheartedly. We can follow the Lord, but are we following the Lord wholeheartedly? This word was repeated 6 times about Caleb. And I think this is a big challenge to us. I remember a few years ago, I was speaking to a friend and said, we'll see you in the church. This person doesn't come to our church, so I'm free to say the story. To come to a church, said, oh, yes, of course, but if it is sunny and beautiful, I will not waste the day. So that's not following the Lord wholeheartedly. But Caleb was able to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So Caleb is claiming the promise that he had received when he came back with an encouraging report back to the nation. Now then, just as the Lord promised, and it's wonderful to live by the Lord's promises. I read another lovely story, a lovely statement saying, we don't live by our promises to God, we live by promises to God to us. And that really will change the whole equation, because we sometimes, especially on the New Year Eve, give many, many promises which are broken by end of January probably. But we don't live by our promises to God. We live by God's promises to us. That's why we need to know the word of God and claim the promises in that word. So Caleb saying, he has kept me. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Now he's 85 because he was 40 when he went to spy the land. Since the time, he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. Because as a result of the report of the 10 spies, God said, all the nation, anyone above age of 20, will die in the desert, and your children who are under 20 are the people who are going to inherit the land. So Caleb has to wander in the desert with the other unbelievers till he comes to the point where he will receive the promise. So here I am, 85 years old, and look at the description now. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I like to know his secret, because this is just amazing. He's saying, I'm still as strong today as the day I was 40 and when I went to spy the land. This strength doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Our dependence on God and his promises will allow us to be like Caleb. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. That's just amazing. But this strength comes because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. You remember the word. Now, he will start to ask for his inheritance. And we sometimes choose the easy way. That's how we choose things in life. But actually, Caleb starts to ask for something very difficult. He said this word, now give me the hill country. This is a high land. It's not just a low land that's easy to conquer and to control. Give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. So he's asking for trouble. He's asking for an area, a hilly country with fortified cities, with strong Anakites living there. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Wow. I like the last statement actually. The Lord helping me, I will drive them out as he said. You remember when Lot and Abraham were dividing the land? Lot looked at the valley of Jordan, and it is fertile, and it is easy. So he chose this land. But the Bible says the people living there were wicked. But he said, that doesn't matter. I just go for the benefits of this place. But Caleb's choice is different. He's asking for the hill country. He's asking for fortified cities. And he's 85, but still able to conquer the land. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Joshua is fulfilling the promise that God gave at the time of Moses. So Hebron was belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord God of Israel wholeheartedly. If you forget many things today, remember the word wholeheartedly. And that will be a challenge for myself. And I hope it's a challenge for you as well. Right, six times, as I said, mentioned about Caleb that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And that's a great report, really, about his life. Very quickly, in the coming few minutes, we'll look at Caleb in four dimensions, if you like. We'll look at Caleb the sufferer. We'll look at Caleb the defender. We'll look at Caleb the wanderer. We'll look at Caleb the conqueror. Very quickly, we will look at these four aspects of the life of Caleb, and I think we can relate to them in our life. So, Caleb the sufferer, he was born in Egypt, enduring suffering of the Israelites, because he was 40 when they went out to crossing the Red Sea or the Bitter Lakes and entering into Sinai. So he was 40 years of age. That means he was born in Egypt under slavery. He was born a slave, but died as a hero. So we are all born in Adam's family. We are all born in the flesh. And we inherited the fallen nature of Adam. And when we start to practice our free will, we added to the fallen nature by our mistakes. But he was born a slave. That doesn't mean he has to stay as a slave. But he died as a hero. Caleb redeemed by the blood of the lamb. You remember the 10 plagues? And the last one is to get a lamb, and a perfect lamb, and they put the blood on the outer door, and the angel of the Lord will pass by, and the person who is not protected by the blood will be killed, the firstborn. So Caleb has to be redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb in order to start the journey. He was delivered from Egypt and was given the prospect of greater inheritance. And that's really the introduction I was trying to explain at the beginning. When you start your Christian life, that's the beginning. The journey is exciting, and we need to progress and fulfill what God is calling us to do. And that's really important, because sometimes we waste our life for little things without really achieving the goal that the Lord created us for. There would be no inheritance in the land unless he is redeemed under Moses. So as I said, all these promises, all these wonderful things that we're talking about will be irrelevant if I am not born again in God's family. And that is by accepting Jesus as my Savior. We'll move on now from Caleb the sufferer, because he was born in slavery. Now he is the defender when he went to examine the land. Caleb was one of 12 spies went to explore Canaan. Only Caleb and Joshua defended Moses and encouraged the nation. But the other 10 looked at the giants, looked at the difficulties, but he didn't look at God, who can control and do things very specially. The 10 spies despised the land, but Joshua and Caleb delighted in the land. So if there are difficulties, and I am not belittling the difficulties, by the way, I have suffered them, and I am not welcoming difficulties. But if we are facing difficulties now, just depend on the promises of God. That's the only way to progress. So 2 out of the 12 were able to see God's promise all the time. The nation wanted to go back to slavery to Egypt, but the 2 men wanted to go ahead to the promised land. The majority walked by sight, the minority walked by faith. And that is really how we are invited to walk with God. We are invited to walk by faith. God doesn't send us a copy of 5-year plan in your life. Doesn't happen that way at all. He just asked us to go day by day trusting him. And that's exciting, because Christianity is not following sets of rules and regulations. It is following a living Savior. And that's in itself very exciting, but it needs us to be careful to listen and to adjust our walk with him all the time. It took courage for Caleb to stand against the whole nation, but God honored his faithfulness. We'll move to the third part or the third dimension of Caleb's life, Caleb the wanderer. Caleb did not die in the wilderness because he has the promise of God to go to the promised land, but still had to suffer the unbelief among the others and stayed for 40 years wandering in Sinai. And Sinai is a very rugged place, actually. I once was flying over Sinai, and I looked from the window and looked at this rugged place and said, the Lord looked after his people, there are about 2 million of them, and kept them alive for 40 years. That's amazing. He can take care of me. Although his body was in the wilderness, he spent 40 years wasting his time, really. His heart was in Canaan. Every day passes on, I'm going to Canaan. I'm going to Canaan. What is your goal in your Christian walk with God? Are we just looking at the desert with the difficulties of the desert? Or are we just focusing on where God promised to take us? The map again, and I'm sure now you are all well-versed in the map, but they spend 40 years wandering around and moving around and wasting their time. The goal is to go to Canaan, the promised land. Caleb the conqueror. He reminded Joshua of the promise that God gave him. And depending on that promise, he wanted to claim the land. God had promised him the inheritance, and Caleb, by faith, is claiming this inheritance. So our inheritance is made for us, and to inherit, that means you need to be part of the family. You remember this man who came to the Lord and said, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Actually, to inherit, you mean to be born in a family. That's all what you need to do. You can't do anything to inherit. You need to be in God's family. So he lived by this promise and asked God to fulfill him. Unbelief looks at the giant. Faith looks at God. Unbelief looks at man's common sense that we cannot go for these 45 cities. But we look at God. We overcome the enemy and claim the inheritance the same way as Caleb. And let us look at the steps that he took. We must be wholly yielding to God. He was wholeheartedly following God. We must know his promises and believe them. If he hasn't had a promise from God, he wouldn't be able to claim anything. We must keep heart and mind fixed on the inheritance. He spent 40 years wandering in the desert, but his heart and mind was fixed on inheritance. We must depend on God giving us the victory. It's not because we are powerful. He was 85, but he was as strong as he was in his 40s. That's just amazing. I like these words. I work for God, and that's a great thing that God is your boss. That's just wonderful. I work with God. That's just, again, another privilege. I work through God. And God works through me. That is really the beauty of the Christian walk. God, with his power, operates in my life and your life. Can you imagine the power of God operating in your life? We hear about the word power. Power, you can say a power of a car. You have a certain amount of power in your mind. A power of an aeroplane. You have another magnitude of power. A power of atomic bomb. That's much, much bigger. A power of God. His power is available for you and me today. And we need him to operate in our lives. I'll finish with this verse, which is a lovely verse, really, in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are God's workmanship. We are the masterpiece. You and me are the masterpiece. When you look at the mirror, when I look at the mirror, I don't think I am. But you are the masterpiece. And God saved you for a purpose, for a goal. Try to discover this goal, because this goal is different from one person to another. God doesn't have a photocopier machine and have one plan and send it to all the Christians. We have different achievements in our life for God. So we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus to be good works, which God prepared in advance to do. So we can't claim that the good work is not available for us because it's only prepared. All my job and your job is to find the good work and go for it. I hope this very quick study of the life of Caleb and the words that the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life, that he's forgetting what's in the past and pressing on, straining towards the goal. I pray that this goal will be clear in our mind today and will be achievable during this coming week in an outreach to the children as the church is taking that great work, and in your own personal journey with God, achieving what God wants you to achieve. Let us pray. Lord, we acknowledge your goodness to us as we read your word and learn from it. We pray, Lord, that you will help all of us to follow you wholeheartedly, to follow you, Lord, and be able to achieve what you want us to achieve in our life. Bless us, Lord, as we enter into a new week, and bless the outreach to the children and their families. And let your word be declared clearly so people will come to the knowledge of Christ. Bless us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.